All right, we're continuing in our study of the Gospel of John, and we come to chapter 9. It's the famous chapter about the blind man, and the entire chapter is our text. So I'm going to read the whole chapter, so you might want to follow along in your Bible, John chapter 9. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva, and then anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he's like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, anointed my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Well, where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age, he'll speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, but you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You're his disciple. We're the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it ever been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and is he who is speaking to you?" He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to him, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." Well, the disciples ask a question that gives evidence of a view that was present in their day and still around today. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. The idea is still floating around out there. Clearly, some things are directly connected to specific sins and their natural consequences. If you get cirrhosis of the liver after years of drunkenness, there's a natural connection between those two things. But this guy was born blind. He hadn't done anything. Hence, the wonder, they wonder if his parents had sinned then. And they are now being punished by their son's blindness. You ever thought that way? You probably have. Most of us have at one point or another. Let's say you were quite rude to a driver yesterday. And today, when you go out to your car, you have a flat tire. And you're thinking, is God getting me for that? People think that way. He's getting me for my bad behavior yesterday. It's to think like Job's friends, totally. Now, I'm not saying that that could never happen, but Jesus' point is that it didn't happen here in this instance with this man. Look at what he says. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So there's no tit-for-tat, one-for-one relationship to some sin. God was at work in this whole event. His healing was part of God's plan so that God's power could be demonstrated and that Jesus could be declared to be the God-man. Reminds me of those famous words from Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So God's working through this situation. Do the people on the ground understand how all that works? No. But God knows, and his plan is unfolding. So other than the things he has revealed in the scripture, we don't know the mind of God. We can't figure out his ways. He's always fulfilling his plan. That we do know. And we can trust him in that. Now, Jesus makes another point out of this event. Verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Excuse me. Merle Tenney said, the growing pressure of hostility rising from unbelief warned Jesus that his time was short. The twilight of his career was beginning, and the darkness would soon fall. As all the Gospels show, Jesus was working under the shadow of the coming cross. While he had the opportunity, he must let his light shine in the darkness around him by healing both bodies and minds. And the use of we shows that he included his disciples in that ministry. They also would pass through perils and opposition, but they would have the support of the Father who had sent him. So there he is with this man blind from birth. And now he does an extraordinary thing. Verse 6, having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then anointing the man's eyes with mud, he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man does. Goes down there. I'm assuming someone guided him there with mud on his eyes. He goes down to the pool, washes it off, and he can now see. It says, so he went and washed and came back seeing. And the people who knew him were baffled. Is that him? And try to imagine that. Here's a guy who had never seen. You had never seen him seeing, and now he comes back seeing. That would cause us to scratch our heads as well. And this, as far as I know, this is the only two-part miracle that Jesus did. You know, he put the mud on his eyes and then sent him to go wash. I'm sure we could speculate about why that is so. I don't know. But it's just interesting that that there were two different parts that needed to be done. But it's an extraordinary miracle this man had never seen. Now, it takes some getting used to. Now, you know, now his eyes are fixed. He can see stuff. But his brain had never processed those kinds of things coming into his brain. So how would he learn to focus? How would he, you know, we're filtering out stuff all the time. You know, as we focus on something, the other stuff in the periphery, we're not paying attention to. Well, he was instantly healed and perfectly able to see. He didn't need any time to adjust. So it wasn't just a miracle of fixing his eyes. It was a miracle of fixing whatever that process is from the optic nerve to his brain and making that all work right too. This is so amazing, it caught the attention of the authorities when the people who saw it told them, and they were interested and took it up as a case before them to investigate. So we have this interrogation thing that goes on from like verses 9 down through 34. And there was a debate among the people as to whether he was indeed the blind beggar. Is this the guy? Some thought he was the guy, others the opposite. So they asked him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." He gives him the plain, bare facts. He doesn't embellish. He doesn't speculate about how it happened or anything else. "This is what I was told to do. This is what I did. Now I see." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "Oh, no. You know, he wasn't tracking Jesus. He was busy going to the pool and coming back." So they brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Verse 14, "Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he'd received his sight." And he said, he goes through it all again. He washed. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. Even among the Pharisees, they weren't agreeing on this. So they were conflicted. Now, they had to admit that this was a remarkable miracle, but they were hung up on the Sabbath issue and whether or not this man that did that could in fact be a good man. Now, even after some previous confrontations with Jesus about healing on the Sabbath, there were still some who believed that it was not proper to heal on the Sabbath. So they raised their complaint again. Then they ask him about Jesus. They said again to the blind man, verse 17, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." Now, I'm sure that was a guess on his part, I would think. He's speculating. This great miracle has happened. He's a prophet. He really didn't know who Jesus was, so he assumed that he was a prophet based on the miracle that he had experienced at Jesus' hand. They were apparently not really interested in the man's assessment of the situation, so they take another approach. Verse 18, they didn't believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called in his parents and asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind, and how does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He can answer that." So they can verify who he is and the fact that he was blind from birth. So a major hurdle in the investigation has been overcome now. And the Jews can't continue to deny that he was the former blind man. But the question of how this happened now looms even larger. Clearly, a marvelous miracle has occurred. They can't deny the healing. But how? Who? Notice the parents' reluctance to get involved. "Ask him," they say. And John gives the reason there in verse 22. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to put out of the synagogues. They didn't want that to happen. So they weren't going to commit to this thing. They said, well, talk to him. He's of age. Well, the Pharisees couldn't get what they wanted from the parents, so they turned back to the man. So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. That's undeniable. Now, there was no argument with that particular statement. He had indeed been healed of his blindness, and he takes no stance on who Jesus was, whether a sinner or not, because he didn't really know. But he knew what he proclaims with boldness. Once I was blind, but now I see. Now, that phrase appears in Amazing Grace, of course, but I wonder how many other songs down through the history of the church we get that line or something similar to it, that once I was blind, but now I see. It's a marvelous illustration of regeneration. We who were born in darkness and sin, we encounter Jesus, and he removes the darkness from us, gives us spiritual sight. Isn't that what Isaiah promised in 9:2? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. Or Paul says about believers, for you're all children of the light, children of the day. We're not of the night or of the darkness. And Peter too. But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Once we were blind, but now we see. Praise God. Well, the conversation continues and falls into real contentiousness on the part of the Pharisees, but the man himself was pretty snarky too. When they asked him again what had happened, he answered them, I've told you already and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You want to become his disciple? I mean, I find it quite humorous. That frosted them. They were furious and they denounced the man as some evil, vile sinner and cast him out. So Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He says, well, who is he that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you've seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Just like that, the man is converted. Just as quickly as his healing occurred, so now his soul is healed. He believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes and he worships. Obviously, he didn't have a full grasp of all that Jesus was and all that Jesus would do, but he certainly believed he was the Son of Man, and equally with that, I think he believed he was the Son of God. Now here he was, judged by the authorities and cast out. Now he's confessing Christ. To this, Jesus responds, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. So he denounces the Pharisees for their trust in themselves and their lack of faith in him, and their guilt remains. This man that they threw out is received, but these religious leaders are rejected. They were indeed blind spiritually, but the former blind man now sees both physically and spiritually. So let's turn our eyes unto Jesus. He alone is our hope and our rock. He alone is all that you need. He is enough. He alone accomplished our redemption in his life and death and resurrection. As the blind man did, believe in him and worship him.